from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The top 10 list is not officially out, right? It's just we know there's 10 names left, and now we can piece them. We know who one is. Also in breaking news in the sports world, Patrick Mahomes, no surprise here, is a 99 on Madden.
Woo!
So there you go. Who, if you didn't have that, the only person that didn't was Mike Florio.
How did you not give him 100? Like,
exist.
Why couldn't he be the first 100 player? Like, you're going to give him a 99, right?
Yep.
100's a perfect score, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
What are you docking him in?
Drops.
Yeah, literally.
Kadarius Toney's the reason he's
100. Not 100. Okay, yeah. Fine.
Also, it's his fourth 99 in the past 5 years. So why didn't he get 5 out of 5? What?
Ugh.
Is he 98?
Haters.
Yeah.
Haters. But like, honestly, what do you not, how can you just say, you know what, we're just going to give this guy 100? How do you not just give him 100?
How did George Brett not get 100% of the votes to go into the Hall of Fame?
Well, because I understand how that happens. There's biased people who are mad that so-and-so didn't give him a good quote when he was playing or something like that, right? Writers are biased like that.
Mahomes lost to the Raiders on Christmas Day, 99.
All right, fine, yeah. If you want to go that way.
It is what it is. Yeah. But no, the top 10 list in the NFL, the presumptive top 10 in alphabetical order, no order per se.
Presumptive.
Yeah, presumptive.
I like presumptive.
Yeah. Chris Jones, dyslexia runs in my family. Left players are Chris Jones, Christian McCaffrey, Lamar Jackson, Max Crosby, Miles Garrett, Patrick Mahomes, TJ Watt, Travis Kelce, Trent Williams, Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs have 3 players in the top 10.
Yeah.
They have, I think, what, 2 99s on their Madden roster as of now. They got Kelce and Mahomes. Chris Jones is a 97. Butker should probably be a 99 as well.
Yeah.
So out of this list, we know number one is Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So where do we think Chris Jones is, and where do we think Travis Kelce is?
Travis Kelce is going to come in at 9. Chris Jones is going to come in at number 7 on that list.
Okay.
That's kind of what I feel.
You think Christian McCaffrey is 2?
I think Christian McCaffrey is your number 2, right?
Lamar's 3?
On that
list. He's the
list,
MVP of the league last year? Can't be 1.
You can't be 1.
Next quarterback on the list
is
him?
Probably Lamar is 3 on that list.
Okay.
Yeah.
After that, I mean, I don't know. You said Kelce is 7 and Jones is 9? Miles Garrett, TJ Watt, Trent Williams.
No, Kelce 9, Jones 7.
Okay, there you go.
I think I'd have Garrett 4.
Trent Williams 5.
What about Tyreek Hill? You don't think he's going to be that high?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about, like, and we're taking biases out here, right? Who changes a game more, Tyreek Hill or Miles Garrett?
It's honestly close, yeah. Tyreek's, yeah.
I'm asking because I mean maybe it is Miles Garrett, right? I mean, you have to account for him on every play. You have to account for Tyreek Hill on every play. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, where we sit right now, this is an offensive league,
for sure.
Right? So that's why I would give Tyreek Hill maybe the nod over Miles Garrett. But again, I mean, I'm not one of the players that votes, you know, in this thing. But I know how players look at Tyreek Hill and they're like, damn, that guy can run, man. He's fast. He can catch. He's great.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he'll be higher. Yeah, I like him at 4.
Yeah, I wonder if they put Lamar at 2, though, over Christian McCaffrey. Just because Lamar was the MVP,
quarterback, dynamic, second MVP, shows dominance.
It's players voting. I'm trying to think of how players are going to vote.
And you know, players love the narrative that that Lamar Jackson's the most disrespected quarterback in like the last 20 years.
Yeah. Do they like Christian McCaffrey?
I don't know. I think
everyone does, yeah.
I don't think
But you don't hear much hate for him,
no,
right?
No, yeah. He's a very humble athlete.
Yeah.
Greg Olsen loved his wedding. I don't know if you saw that picture.
Yeah, I saw that. Was good, yeah.
I mean, Greg Olsen was zooted.
Hammered.
But yeah, I think Tyreek has to be in the top five, which means there's only two other spots for him, four or five. And that's where you get into the conversation, Myles Garrett, Tyreek Hill.
Right. If you're starting a team today, are you taking Myles Garrett or Tyreek Hill?
Myles Garrett.
I think I would, too.
I want pressure on the opposing quarterbacks. Yeah. You got to think I'm probably playing Mahomes at some point, and the best way to get to Mahomes is try to get him.
So maybe Myles Garrett comes in at number four and Tyreek Hill comes in at number five. Tyreek's the only wide receiver. You guys do realize this in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
No, it's not. That's the way the league works. That's why you don't spend that kind of money on wide receivers.
But if Jefferson plays this whole season, he's on this list for sure.
Top 10 player in the league?
Oh, absolutely.
He'll be in the
Who are you taking off that top 10 list right now?
Trent Williams.
Trent Williams. Yeah.
Really?
So I think it's going to be Trent Williams at 10, Max Crosby at 9. I think Kelsey at 8, Jones at 7, TJ Watt at 6, Tyreek at 5.
Garrett at 4?
Yeah. And then I got McCaffrey at 3, Jackson at 2, Mahomes at 1. That would be my list. I think of the final top 10. Not that it matters, but I think that's where they would go with that.
Right.
What was interesting also are the players that missed the top 10. Are there any of these players that you would think go into the top 10 out of these 20 through 11? C.J. Stroud, top 10 yet?
No.
Roquan Smith?
No.
No.
Justin Jefferson?
Yes.
Yes.
Micah Parsons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons considered the 17th best player in the league.
And Max Crosby, high above him.
Dak Prescott is 16th. He in the top 10? No.
No.
Jalen Hurts, 15th? No.
That's high for Hurts.
Very high.
Look, I'm glad he's getting love from his peers because I think he's good. Philadelphia, for whatever reason, can't stand him. They're trying to run him out of town.
But he's in the best shape of his life.
Super Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, and he's in the best shape of his life. George Kittle at 14.
No.
Great guy. CeeDee Lamb at 13.
No.
Seems. Josh Allen at 12 and Fred Warner at 11. So there's still some love for J.A.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see how Josh Allen's year goes.
Yeah.
He's going to be great.
You think he's going to be great?
Good.
Better than Jordan Love?
That's my Josh Allen's right behind Love in my MVP race.
Okay.
Wow.
Still Love on the Josh Allen Bills trade. You think they're just going to run that double tight end set?
Yeah.
I can see that. Knox and Kincaid. Speaking of fantasy football, very high on one Dalton Kincaid.
Why? Because you saw him on Kay Adams yesterday and he had like a 70% completion percentage rate or whatever it is. And now you're like, oh, he talked to Kay Adams, so maybe I can get her number if I pick him on my fantasy team.
I've got Kay Adams contacts. Well, I've got Flex. Our agent's email.
Flex.
We'll get her on the show maybe one day if it ever works out. But that's interesting about Buffalo. Like, you still think Josh Allen has that eliteness, or do you think that his career, because of the way it's gone, has started to affect his, you know, I guess his, not mental strength, but like his awareness to know that he's there?
I thought he was absolutely incredible last year. I thought they went through a month slump. They fired the offensive coordinator, and after that, he was on complete fire without Stephon Diggs
catching
anything.
Looked great in that playoff game. He was good.
He did.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
Did look great.
I mean, that completion to Dirt at the end was outstanding.
Mm. See, I think Josh Allen might be one of the most scrutinized quarterback for no reason that there is.
Agreed.
I think that he's...
I think it hurts him that he plays in Buffalo and they're like perennial losers, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that's unfortunate for Josh Allen is that the narrative around his tenure in Buffalo will always be the year before Buffalo traded with the Kansas City Chiefs. They took Patrick Mahomes. The very next year, they realized they messed up. They had to get a quarterback. They got Josh Allen, who is good, who's great. But unfortunately, now he has to go against Patrick Mahomes in every sort of facet that there is, and he can't beat him when it matters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, and I've heard this comparison before.
Yeah, life sucks sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not like I'm creating this sort of topic because I've heard it used multiple times by multiple sources. The Patrick Mahomes-Josh Allen rivalry is very mirror image to the Phil Mickelson-Tiger Woods. Like, Phil would go play tournaments that weren't majors and win them because mm-hmm. Tiger either wouldn't play or wouldn't show up or, you know, just didn't win it. And then he'd go into a major like the playoffs. And it was like, all right, Phil's won three times on the tour this year. He's really playing good golf. And then Tiger would show up and shoot like 17 under in 3 days. And it'd be like, well, there's nothing I can do. It's like, yeah, you got some regular season wins, Phil, but when it matters, you can't beat Tiger.
Right.
Eventually, Phil would start to win majors, but was it ever against Tiger? Not really. The thing is, when you look at Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen wins against Patrick Mahomes in the regular season, but we know for a fact he's played him three times in the playoffs, and he's never beat him. AFC Championship game, lost. 13-second game, lost. First time you get Patrick Mahomes in your house, loss.
But that's the difference, though, between being a very nice football player and being a great football player. It's all about winning and winning in the postseason. And that's why, like, we were having the conversation the other day, like, what are we judging quarterbacks on here? Like, we want to change the rules for every single quarterback and judge them based on whatever works to make them appear better than they are, right? Like, we were talking with Dakota Prescott last week or the other day, and they were talking about all these great stats and numbers that he puts up. How does he do in the playoffs? Not real well, right? And that's where I am with Josh Allen. I don't want to say it's easy, but it's easy to go out and play in September and October and November when the games don't really matter. But if you're the quarterback of a team in the NFL, how do you play in January when it matters most? How do you play when the games are big? Are you a guy that's going to lead your team to victory, or are you a guy that they're going to have to try to get a win from despite you going out there and playing? And for me, Josh Allen has yet to prove that he can be that guy at the quarterback position that I can rely on in those big moments. It just so happens that he does have to face Patrick Mahomes, and that does stink. But I'll tell you what, everybody goes through adversity in their life. You have to find a way to overcome that. And if Josh Allen always falls short to Patrick Mahomes, he's always going to be looked at as a guy with that big yeah but hanging over his head of he wasn't able to do it when it mattered most. And so that's why I'm going to be so passionate this year when we talk about quarterbacks. What did he do in the postseason? What did he do in the playoffs? Did he advance far? Did he win games for his team? And if the answer is no, then I just can't put these guys in that greatness category. Like, I love Lamar, but I know Lamar's got a very big, 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 big problem. He can't win in the playoffs. Josh Allen's in that same category. Regular season doesn't mean squat to me.
21 touchdowns, 4 picks in the playoffs for Allen.
How many wins?
No, I get it. I just say the numbers, like Lamar, I think there's more apt criticism there. I think he's played bad in the playoffs. I don't think Josh Allen's played bad in the playoffs for the most part.
But Josh Allen had a chance to win that game against the Chiefs.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Twice now.
Yeah.
Bad thing is he doesn't play defense. And he's got to get away from Sean McDermott.
No, I'm telling you, offensively, they had a chance to beat the Chiefs last year. They could have beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Sure. Just won't happen. Do you think Josh Allen end up like Dan Marino? Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Very possibly.
Big Josh Allen fan, though. Coming up on the other side, we get into more cliches. Plus, it might get a little serious, but that's okay. Sometimes it's okay to talk about certain issues, plus the Chiefs and Hall of Fame numbers, where they could sit at the end of, in about 10 years, how many they could have in that room. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. This is 610 Sports Radio. I'm still blaming Cotton Eye Joe, because I probably would be married if it wasn't for Cotton Eye Joe. That's a fact, Daddy. I don't know. Marriage is overrated. I'm kidding. I'm sure marriage is great. I'll get married when I'm 50. Is it overrated or underrated, guys?
Yeah, we didn't get the answer from Bob. He just I'm in engagement right now.
Pages.
Quite answer yet.
That's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you guys talking?
No. Just hanging out here.
Cool.
Just hanging out here.
All right.
Brian. We just mentioned Patrick Mahomes is a 99 overall in Madden. Congratulations. Who didn't see that coming? No one. We move on through the football season, and there were comments by a player that we want to dive into. But before we do that, there are comments from a British woman.
Well, hello! I am back from hiatus to return to cliches from camp! The most important, nonsensical time of the year. I love nothing more than a bowl of porridge, a spot of tea, and a great cliche.
St. Joe's is hot. Our practices are long.
A lot of recovery after practice, a lot of rehydration.
We have a purpose, and we're out there to prove that last year wasn't a fluke.
The training staff does a great job. Strength staff does a great job. Nutrition staff, everybody does a great job with us. And, you know, getting us back to where we need to be for practice the next day.
Still growing, still learning, and I feel like that's one thing that wakes me up every day.
You got to come and work on areas where you're strong, work on areas where you're weak and just try to get better as a player.
For us right now, it's just taking it day by day and getting better every day.
This is the standard. This is how we practice. This is how we do things.
You're in a vulnerable position right there with some big men that are chasing you, trying to get you.
He has the right mindset to be great, so it's going to be good to see.
You know, if I do my job at a high level, everything else is going to take care of itself, man. And that's all I got to do, man, just keep working and doing my job at a high level.
Each and every day, somebody is coming in here and making sure that the standard is set.
We know Coach Reed says it every day. He's like, you just got to show up and push through.
He's getting better every day, and you can tell he's bought in and working hard to get better every day, too.
We've gone through all the bumps and bruises.
I'm focused on us right now. I'm focused on this team getting better.
So. Each and every day, we're just helping each other.
This is a historic time to be a Kansas City Chief, and I feel great to be a part of it.
Ultimately, just getting prepared for this next season and ready for the hardest training camp in the NFL.
The Royal Family would be so proud of all of these glorious, wonderful cliches from camp. Until next time, it is me, the British woman.
There you go.
Wonderful. You're wonderful welcome. Cliches.
St. Joe is hot.
It is a hot place.
Hardest training camp. Yep.
Love it.
Yep.
We're in regular season form right now.
Yeah, best shape of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to dive into something because, Bob, you and I have had conversations before. I know a lot of people consider me the energetic, smart-ass, funny guy. I've been known that as my whole life, class clown, all those sort of cliches. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire talked about something the other day, and I want to play the audio for you, and then we can kind of go into maybe how this – kind of rang a bell for both you and I.
I would say with that happening at such a young age, my first couple of years, you just try to block everything out and like, oh, I'm, you know, at some point I'm gonna get over it, and it just, you start to realize that just doesn't happen. You get older and you realize, hey, no matter the age, no matter the person, no matter the situation, everyone needs help at some point, and it's just being able to kind of step up and know, no, this is the help I need, or this is what I need to ask for. I mean, and even talking with my dad, talking with my mom, she was in the Army, my dad, past Marine, ex-cop. So, I mean, he's sent me books. We've communicated back and forth. It's not just, you know, I have my support system here, but I also have my support system home. And that's, I feel like that's the biggest thing. I'll say now I'm probably the most level-headed and clear that I've probably been within the last five or 6 years.
You know, that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire talking about, you know, going through all the trauma that he went through in college. You can look that up and read the backstory about what Clyde Edwards-Helaire went through and some of the things that happened to him in college. And he was very open in describing the kind of the PTSD that he's really living day to day from that incident that took place. And you know, we've gotten a lot better at talking about mental health and how that kind of affects, you know, everybody on a daily basis. And I think all of us are going through some sort of mental health battle every day. I know I've dealt with it and still deal with it on a daily basis and doing, you know, mental gymnastics in your head. You never think you're good enough. You always think you're going to get fired. You never think you're worthy enough. Like I do those mental gymnastics every single day. You know, I was seeing a therapist for a while. He is no longer around. And so I you know, I don't have a current therapist right now. So I think for a lot of people, you know, to hear Clyde Edwards-Helaire, there are going to be some people that roll their eyes, but I think a lot more people can relate to what Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going through. And a lot of times for athletes, we don't factor in that they're normal humans as well. And there are things that happen in their lives that are very difficult to get over. I've always talked about my weight being an issue and how I struggle with that and how that's affected things and has given me low self-esteem my entire life. And, you know, how I've always had to battle that. And here I am at 47 years old, still battling those demons and still fighting low self-esteem, not thinking I'm good enough, not thinking I'm worthy of anything. And I think that's a lot of us. I think a lot of us do deal with that every single day, because we're not in a world where people pay compliments or are nice to people a lot of the times. We're in a world where people push, expect more, never stop and say, hey, you're doing a nice job, you're doing a good job, we appreciate you, we like you. It's all about just doing more, and eventually you just can't take that anymore and it wears you down. And I've been, you know, to those places before where you just get worn down and you get tired and you get exhausted and you just don't think your self-worth is anything over a one. And I was there for a very long time. And I'm not saying that I'm out of that mold yet. I still wake up every morning feeling like, am I going to accomplish anything worthwhile today? Am I worthy of a, you know, of doing what I do? And am I being a good enough dad and all that kind of stuff? Am I being a good enough husband? Like, life is tough, and it's okay to admit that you're struggling with stuff. And I applaud Clyde Edwards-Helaire for speaking his mind yesterday or the day before and letting everybody know kind of where he is. And when we criticize him, kind of think, man, this kid's been through a lot, saw a lot at the age of 18, and here he is trying to live his best life and get through life every day dealing with that trauma that he suffered, you know, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. And one, I think you nailed it. Proud of Clyde Edwards-Helaire to come out and say that, because whether it's Mahomes or Kelsey or whoever the athlete, athletes are still seen as a regard of somebody that is, you know, higher up because of what they do for entertainment, the leagues that they're in. And it hasn't been really an easy, you know, professional career for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Obviously, us media people have our opinions, and we talk about, is he, you know, a bust? Is he the running back they thought? And being able to kind of ground yourself and humanize yourself with other people really opened the eyes for a lot. And, you know, there's times where people, you know, they'll tell me, like, man, you're just never in a bad mood, which is a lie. If you ask my coworkers at my other job, you can find out real quick how I can get to a bad mood. But I always try to be the light in the room. You could say that's my Leo sign. That's my passion. I want to be loud and proud because I want other people that might be introverted or, like you said, doing gymnastics.
Do you consider yourself an introvert?
No, I'm an extreme extrovert.
You're an extreme because I've learned over the years and recently, really, I am an introvert. I am a big time introvert, and people think because we do what we do, for this is my outlet. This is how I kind of express myself, right? Yeah. When the microphone goes off at 10 o'clock, like the last thing I want to do is walk into a room with a group of people and stand there and have conversation. Like, I fear that. It's just like, oh my God, how am I going to get past this? Or how am I? And then once I get going, I'm okay. But it's that initial, like, I am a big time introvert.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And there isn't anything wrong with that. But it took me a long time to realize that, because I would always go, what's wrong with me? You know, like, why don't I want to do this? Am I just lazy? Am I tired? Whatever it is. And I realized, no, I'm just an introvert. It's not an easy thing for me to, like, my wife's an extreme extrovert. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to this. Like, having plans for me, like, I'm like, oh my God, I got plans.
But that's probably why you guys work.
Yeah.
You're introverted, she's extroverted. You guys kind of cancel each other out and it works,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
And as I would say, you're more of a sponge and I'm more of a spiller. So where you sit back and absorb, I come in and I just start spraying personality and talking all the time.
But I think that's also because you have a little bit of that, I don't know, like a self-esteem maybe. You want to make sure that everybody knows who you are before they, you know what I'm saying? Like, you want to put on the show before people have an opportunity maybe to make up their mind about you. Yeah. I'm just playing psychologist here.
Or make people feel comfortable. Yeah. Like, if he can do that, like, he doesn't have any sort.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Or like, you know, whatever. But I would say that everyone has a different variation of mental health struggles. Mm-hmm. And I found myself in a very dark place when I lost my mother. And I'm going to try not to cry here, but I'm serious. When that happened, it was during COVID, and I kept telling myself, everything's going to be all right, everything's going to be all right, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. And then you get the call that you never want to get. And I get the call from my stepdad, and it's like, hey, you need to get in the car, you need to get to the hospital. And it's like, frick, you know, like, shoot. And you don't realize, you go through your life, you know, just expecting your parents to always be there.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, radio was out, right? There was no sports. There was nothing. It was starting to come back, but I didn't know if I had a career here ever again. And I was about to never have a mother. And I found myself blaming God, you know, not, you know, keeping my faith to myself and not wanting to talk to anybody. And by the grace of the Lord, all of my friends showed up to my house the night my mom died. Like all of my friends, 10 of them, my ex-girlfriend at the time didn't leave my side, let her dog stay with me. And you kind of reflect in that moment where you think nothing is in your side, the world is gone, and you look around and you see that there are people that care. And when you're at your darkest, downest time, the best people in your life will show up. And that's what opened my eyes. And that's how I coped with losing my mom. And then as I go on through life and I get older, I see other people that eventually lose their parents, mm-hmm. or whether they're 80 or whether they're 60. And my best friend, whose dad passed away last year, it was really good for me to be able to experience what I had to experience. And I made it a vow to myself that I was going to drive to St. Louis and be there for him. Why? Because he was there for me and I knew exactly what that felt like. I knew exactly. It was like Bob and Mac, it was like someone took a strobe light of light into my life after I was down in this spot where I thought my career was over. I thought my life was over. I didn't have my rock, my biggest fan, my supporter, my mother, but I had all the rest of my family. I had my father, my stepmother, my sisters, and I had 12 of my best friends. Lucky as hell to even have 12 best friends. And they showed up as if nothing had happened.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I came clean to them. I was like, guys, I didn't know where I was going to be in a week. I really didn't know where I was going to be. My career, I don't know if that's going to be a thing. Everybody was doing shows from their houses. You and Josh were doing the show from your house. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really dark time. And the best thing that worked for me was to be able to talk about it.
Sure.
I was able to come clean about it. And when I was able to do that and really take myself down a step, because I'll be honest with you, I sometimes get a little too arrogant and I get a little too full of myself. And at that very moment, I said, okay, now you have a chance to change the way that you do things and the way that you can be a better person. And for those people that listen to After Hours, now you know where the root of the way I sign off comes from. And I always signed off on After Hours with, go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's cool to care, be safe, and be kind.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because somebody could be having a absolute crap of a day, and you might just hold the door open for somebody who's struggling mentally at a Quick Trip and say, here you go. And they'll be like, wow, thank you. You're like, yeah, absolutely. Have a great day. And that might be very minute of a task to do for somebody, but that's also something that you're showing someone you went out of your way to do something for somebody else that you didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's things like that that this world needs more of. And props to Clyde Edwards-Helaire to come out and say,
absolutely,
hey, this is where I was. This is where I come from. I thought it was going to go away. I still think there's going to be days where I'm like not going to see my mom's picture and not cry.
Right.
Bull crap, dude. I'll drive down the highway. I'll hear a Van Morrison song. They played at her funeral. And people look at me like I'm cutting onions in my car. not ashamed of it anymore.
No,
it is what it is.
And you shouldn't be ashamed of it, and nobody should be ashamed of it. And I think we're to a point, except for the one jackass who texted in, Clyde's a millionaire. So yeah. What? Who cares how much money Clyde Edwards-Helaire has, how much money you have, how much money anybody has? It doesn't mean that you don't deal with health issues and mental health issues and stuff like that. And if you're having a hard time listening to this conversation, it's probably because it's resonating with you a little bit. And you realize too, hey man, I'm going through something.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do and I don't know how to handle it. And the best way is to talk about it, have the conversation about it, because talking about it does help. But the one thing that I always seemingly run into, and I don't know if you're the same way, I hate talking about myself. I absolutely hate it. People will sit down and they'll start asking me these questions, and I don't know how to respond because I'm afraid if I respond in a certain way, they're going to look at me and go, you're just weak. And that's the society that we were kind of raised up in, that you didn't talk about this kind of stuff. You just suppressed it. You suppressed it. You'll get over it. It'll be fine. And you'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. That's not the way we should have been doing business all these years. If there's something that bothers you, you have to talk about it and have those conversations, because there could be a fix to it. Somebody may have an idea for you. Mm-hmm. Somebody may have a direction that they can point you. Somebody may be there to help you out in these type of situations. Like, you know, we're all in this together. Sounds like a cliche, but we are all in this together. I've helped a number of people, of listeners, you know, that just DM and have questions and, right. and want to get through life and, you know, have concerns and they need somebody to talk to. My DMs are open. So if you're going through anything like this, shoot a DM. We'll have the conversation about it. We'll try to talk you through it. Just know that you guys listening, you're not alone. You're part of our family. We're here to help you guys as much as you are to hear entertainment and get away from all this stuff. If you got something that's bothering you, shoot us a DM. I'll answer every one of them. I'll have a conversation with you. I'll help you out in all this because I know how hard it is to take that first step to ask for that help and to stop doing those mental gymnastics with yourself. Cause it sucks, man. Like from OCD that I deal with and, you know, just, you know, anxiety that I deal with on a daily basis. The anxiety is brutal. Like if you've never dealt with that, the anxiety that I deal with at times is a brutal feeling to have. And you know, there are certain things that make that anxiety even worse than it is. You've got to find a way to handle it. It's not shameful. It's not something to be embarrassed about. It's something to embrace and something to talk about and something to try to help get through. And we're all here to help you. And I think it's very, very important to have these conversations. And if you're dealing with something and you just don't know what it is and you just need to talk, shoot a DM. It's okay. And I think what Clyde Edwards-Helaire did takes a lot of stones to do that, because you do have a lot of folks out there who don't understand this and are going to criticize him and rip him and say that he's weak-minded and he needs to get over it. Doesn't work that way. It's like telling somebody with a disease, a physical disease, to get over it. You can't. Mental health is just like anything else. It needs treatment. It needs conversation. It needs treatment. It needs more conversation. You're never going to just get over it. And I hate when people say that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, like, and one thing that I've said, whether it's a breakup, whether it's a death, or whether it's, you know, whatever in life, sometimes it takes being broken into a million pieces to build yourself back to be even that much more stronger.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that sucks to hear. And I know that, you know, I would do anything in the world to bring my mom back, but maybe that's not what's meant to be. You know, maybe that's not where it's supposed to go, because, you know, you don't question those things you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that you can control is trying to help yourself out. And sometimes it does take a conversation, like whether it's, you know, weight issues, whether it's, you know, insecurities, like, you know, here's a whole segment that we're talking about being human. Like, and I know people tell me all the time, like, oh man, you're on the radio, you're like famous. I'm like, no, I'm not. No. I just do this because it's my job. And
I probably have the lowest self-esteem of anybody, you know.
And that's, you know, that's you though, right? Like that's what maybe gets you through the day, that like you try to challenge yourself in those moments. And athlete, radio host, salesman, mailman, nurse, doctor, I can only imagine what everybody's got to do. And, you know, it's okay. And I guess that the end of this conversation, it's really just simply okay to admit your flaws and have a conversation about what's bothering you. And if somebody doesn't give you that time of day, that somebody doesn't need to be in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a place to go or someone to talk to and you don't think you do, you're wrong. You do. I don't know half the people that listen. I don't know half the people that follow me on Twitter. If you're like, hey, dude, that subject today really hit home. I lost my mom. What'd you do in the years after? You know what? I'll tell you this. Two things are never going to change. Three things are never going to change. Mother's Day is always going to be brutal. Her birthday is always going to be tough. And the anniversary of her death is always going to be tough. But I've accepted that. And I've got with my family and we've done that. And on my mom's birthday, the first or the second year ever anniversary of it, of her birthday, after she had gone, we went to Vegas. We let loose.
Nice.
We got together as my stepdad and my sister and me.
Just
and
just
the three of us. And we said, what would mom want to do for her, 60th birthday?
Right.
And they said, probably go to Vegas. And I said, she might want to go to Jamaica. My stepdad goes, well, Vegas is cheaper for now. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I think mom wanted to go to Jamaica, man. So, right. And all in all, and I remind you of this again, it is simply okay to do random acts of kindness for people because you literally never know
right.
what that could do to someone's day. They could have just gotten a speeding ticket. They could have just had some sort of issue at home, huge fight, whatever it might have been. It's okay to do it. And you'll feel better about yourself when you do a random act of kindness and you actually show people that you're willing to accept anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
Are there going to be jerks in this world?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are there going to be kind, thoughtful people out there? Yes. And you can find them if you want to.
You know, I read something a couple months ago that has kind of changed me a little bit. It said the best thing you can do on a daily basis is say hi to somebody and smile.
Right.
And so every day I try to say hi to somebody and smile. You know, every time I do that, how much better that moment just makes me feel because I put that smile on my face and I saw somebody else smile back at me.
Right.
It changes your whole day. It changes that moment. It makes you feel better. And that's something little that you can do when you're at the gym, when you're at the grocery store, whether you're at the gas station, it doesn't matter where, hey, how you doing? Smile. And that person will smile back. And maybe they were having a bad day, and that smile meant more to them than maybe it meant to you. But you're at least you're going out there and making a little bit of a difference. And I found that's helped me a lot. But we all deal with life. Being a dad is hard. Being a husband is hard. Being an employee is hard. You know, everybody's dealing with this stuff. Everybody's going through life dealing with hard things, and you're not the only one dealing with it. And I know at times we always think, well, nobody else is dealing with this. Like with the kids, right? We look around all the time, and when they misbehave or when they act up, we're like, oh my God. And then we look around and we talk to other people, and everybody's going through the same thing with their kids. They're all dealing with the same thing. And when you start talking with other parents about their kids are doing the same thing that your kids are doing, it makes you feel better that you're not a heel. Because every day I wonder if I'm being a good enough father to my daughters. Like that is my thing. Every day I wake up and I go, did I let them down yesterday? Am I letting them down today? Will I let them down in the future? Like my older daughter is a lot like me. She's more of an introvert. My younger daughter is more like my wife. She's more of an extrovert. Mm-hmm. I sit up at night thinking about my eldest daughter every day. Is she going to be okay? Is she going to have friends? Is school going to be okay? How's she going to be? Like that drives me every single day to make sure that she's going to be great. My youngest one will talk to the paint off the wall. We got to work on that. But my oldest daughter is very much like me, where she's very introverted and she doesn't put herself out there. You know, like I don't put myself out there. People may think this is, you're putting yourself out there, but it's not. 10 o'clock comes, I'm very reserved and, back. And so I think about that every day, like being a dad, man, it changes your perspective on life, and you want to do everything you can to make sure your children are getting the best opportunities and the best childhood and you're not screwing it up. And there isn't a day that goes by where I don't think I screwed up as a dad. And am I being a good enough dad for my kids? You know, it's hard, man. And I know everybody's going through that.
No doubt about it. You've always got somebody. Take care of yourself, take care of your mental, and just always know you've got someone to talk to no matter what. It might be a stranger. It might be a radio host. It might be your best friend. Coming up on the other side, we dive into, first off, thank you for letting us take the time to explain what we meant by that. But let's have a little more upbeat conversation. Bobby Witt Jr. keeps continuing to be the force to be reckoned with in the MLB. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. We'll be right back. Back here on Fesco in the Morning, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens on a Friday, as they tell me to say that now. I'm trying to see if I can catch on to it, but it doesn't look promising.
If we ever get a memo from corporate, let me know because I don't check the company email. So if we do get a memo that Friday is officially an Odyssey thing, please let me know.
Okay.
I'm trying for that.
Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology as the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
The pitch. Witt smacks it deep to left field. McKinstry turns around, looks up, it's gone! Bobby Witt Jr. hits a laser to left. It's a solo homer that extends the Royals' lead.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Witt Jr. does it again. Not only does he do it again, it's the third game in a row he's done something in the eighth inning. At that point, the game was essentially over.
Yeah, the game was over in the first inning yesterday, fellas,
when
right?
When Pasquantino hits the three-run bomb.
Yep.
But again, like you, it, to me, at least in baseball, you could never have more than enough insurance runs because mm-hmm. you just never know what can happen with two outs, what can happen in the ninth inning. And Bobby Witt Jr., again, in the eighth inning, hits a home run. And I find a lot of comparisons, and I do this a lot, but you can kind of see as we continue to go through this season, you keep having those questions in your head like, well, what's Bobby going to do tonight? Or what's Bobby going to do today? I think a lot of it is contagious. I think that's a lot of it has started to give Vinny Pasquantino that sort of like feel.
Mm-hmm.
I said to Vern when we had him on, I believe it was Monday, hey, Vinny Pasquantino's hitting the ball well. Can he start lifting it, though? You think he should start lifting the ball? Hit two home runs last night. Hit one the previous day. And you're starting to see that affect other players in the lineup. Like what Bobby's doing. Okay, how can we do to help out Bobby in this lineup? And the thing that I always seem to see is the comparison of the two athletes that are reigning supreme in their sport in the same city, which is Patrick Mahomes, Bobby Witt Jr. Do we not?
Who's the NBA comparison for Mahomes, Witt?
Anthony Edwards?
Anthony Edwards right now?
I don't know. Luka? One of those two?
Yeah.
I don't know. But when you look at what, when you sat back and watched Mahomes in his first year as a starter and then his second year, maybe a little bit of the third, I think by the second year ending when he won the Super Bowl, you're all like, okay, we just know he's going to do something. And I thought it was interesting because, like, when Bobby Witt Jr. started to go, it's like, last night, it's like, well, what's he going to do? He strikes out. First time in 24 plate appearances.
Which I feel like that's a small number. I feel like Bobby Witt hasn't struck out since last year.
Aaron Judge struck out four times in one game.
I know. It's crazy, right? But that's how good Bobby Witt is at not striking out.
Yeah. And the thing that's interesting is that I find myself now watching Royals games and telling myself, all right, what's he going to do tonight? Is he going to have three hits? Is he going to have four hits? Is he going to have two home runs? Is he going to have a double? Is he going to have another triple? Is he going to steal a base? Just like in Mahomes' first year as a starter and in his second year as a starter, you'd be like, what kind of magic are we going to see today?
Right.
And then you start to take for granted what was Patrick Mahomes, because when you would watch everybody else watch him that were maybe a fan of a different team, they're just like, God, this guy. And that's where I think we're headed with Bobby Witt Jr., because where Mahomes comes alive in the fourth quarter, Bobby Witt Jr. comes alive in the eighth inning. Hit the grand slam in the eighth inning, hit the go-ahead run in the eighth inning and scored from first in that eighth inning, and then last night hits another home run to be basically like, all right, boys, let's get to Scooble tomorrow.
Right, let's get to the next game, and let's take this win and put it in our back pocket and move on, right? So I think they've got an opportunity tonight against a very good pitcher to show what they're all about. I'm excited to watch the hitters tonight against Ark Scooble to see what he can do against them and what they can do against him. Like, I'm more excited to watch our hitters against Scooble than I am to see Cole Reagans. I don't know that there's a lot to gain for Cole Reagans tonight. It's against the Tigers. They're not a very good team, right? We all know that. But there's a lot to gain, I think, for our hitters tonight against Scooble. Because Scooble's going to be the type of guy that you're going to see down the stretch. Once we get through this stretch of games against the Tigers, the schedule doesn't get easy. It's Boston, it's Minnesota, it's Cleveland, it's New York, it's Houston, it's Cleveland, it's Minnesota, like
Philly.
Yeah. I mean, like, it is a gauntlet coming up for the Royals. We're going to know by the end of August really where this team is. But you go out there tonight and you don't back down from Scooble. You go out there and you show him who the best team is on that field tonight, and you let your hitters shine. And if they shine against Ark Scooble tonight, this is going to be one of those performances that you can talk about once they reach the postseason. Well, look what they did to Scooble. They beat him up back in August. You know, they were able to attack a guy who's in the conversation for the Cy Young every single year that he's been in the league, right? Like, this is a legit pitcher they're going up against. Like, this is kind of a playoff test tonight for the Royals. It's a playoff type of pitcher for the Royals. The Tigers aren't a playoff team, obviously,
but he's a stud.
He's a playoff pitcher. He's a guy you see in game one of a series. This is a big test for the Royals tonight from a hitter standpoint, and I can't wait to see how they approach it.
Yeah, and it's almost like maybe I'm wrong because of the situation the Royals currently are in. It's almost like every night's a playoff game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You don't have really, you know, you're not a 100% lock to make the playoffs, right? You're not Cleveland. Cleveland knows they're in the playoffs. Like, their magic number, well, maybe not, but they've got a pretty commanding lead. I think they're what, 5.5 games? Yeah, they're six games
ahead of the Royals. Six and a half
against the Twins.
Yep.
And then you look at the wild card, and the Royals are a half game above the Twins because they didn't play last night. But you can gain a full game if you win today and they lose. You're two games above Boston, 3.5 against Seattle, 4.5 against Tampa Bay, and then Detroit is out of it. They're 8.5. Rangers are probably out of it. They're 8 games out. That's a lot of ground to cover, not a lot of time. But, man, just keep winning.
Yeah.
I don't care if you win 10-3, 2-1, and the way that you can keep doing that is just trusting this lineup to keep moving forward. And, you know, maybe they're doing the same thing. Maybe they're playing every game like it's a damn playoff game.
Well, and I'm kind of watching every game now like it's a damn playoff game. Like, the calendar flipped to August. That's a big line of demarcation. The summer's over. The kids are going back to school. Football's back. And the Royals have a playoff spot, right? And so every game right now is like a playoff game. Every morning you're waking up, and the first thing you're doing, at least I am, and I'm, you know, some are sicker than others, MLB app standings. Yep. Let's see everything that happened last night after I fell asleep. Did Boston win? Did Seattle win? Right. Did the Twins win? Did the Guardians win? Like, you're checking all of those scores. You're looking at the standings. You're seeing what's going on. And the last time we did that was 14-15, where you'd wake up every morning and the first thing you'd do was grab your phone and look at the MLB app and check the standings and see what was going on and what happened from the night before and where the Royals were. Did they gain any ground? Did they happen to lose some ground? What happened here? What happened there? And I love that aspect of baseball. Like, this is right in my wheelhouse right now. We've got the football thing going on. We've got the preseason games, you know, getting ready to start up. And the Royals are the bigger topic because they're relevant and they're part of the baseball postseason right now. And I think all of us are going to start getting that bug. You're going to start waking up when the kids get ready for school. You're going to be checking those standings, finding out where the Royals are. And I can feel the pressure, you know, as a fan watching this stuff. I just know that those guys probably aren't feeling the same pressure we are, because Q's done a great job of just keeping this thing kind of level-headed, status quo. It's not every day. You got to go out there and get a win. Just go out there and play your best and see what happens. And when you put your guys in that type of position, like as a boss, where you don't put pressure on your staff every single day, they're going to perform better. And I think right now the Royals are the beneficiaries of having a guy in the dugout who's a dead fan, right? Mm-hmm. He's cool. He's calm. He's collected. He's not putting the pressure. Like, if Matheny was managing this ball club right now, I'd have a lot of concerns because everything was so with him. And for Q, it's like, all right, just go out there and play your best. We'll see what happens. And you take the pressure off your players.
And you only have losing streaks of 3 games. You only have losing streaks of 2 games.
Yeah.
You said to take the under today, right?
Yeah. 7.
7. Under 7. Okay.
Yep.
I got Royals money line under 7 and Bobby Witt Jr. 2 hits.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
What do you got the odds at?
+732. Yeah.
That's good.
Is there a boost in there anywhere to put on that?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, $10 will win you 82. Technically 72. 70, but,
yeah. Might do it.
I'm telling you, man, September 5th, Chiefs and Ravens, September 6th, 7th, and 8th. Royals and Twins in Kansas City.
Put $1,000 on that.
No,
well,
don't
okay.
do that.
I don't.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
You know how much I make, Bob.
That's right.
Actually, I don't. I never want to know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Coming up, football has started. We just showed you what we thought of Bobby Witt Jr., told you what we thought about Bobby Witt Jr. and Patrick Mahomes. We've got a little bit of a prediction on our hands. Bob, Mac, myself, we'll give them to you. 913-586-7610. What's in the script for you? 913-586-7610. Your chief script predictions coming up on the other side of Fesco in the Morning.
Is selling the best.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.